Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Hey, what's up, guys? I am Caleb Giddings.
I'm Keith Finch. Go next, Paul.
This is where you other guys talk. The fucking Paul and, man, dropping an F-bomb in the first 10 seconds of the show. I'm leaving this in. Tell the other people to talk, Keith.
Yo, talk. Joey, go.
I'm Joey.
I'm Paul.
Thanks, Joey.
Fantastic. What a clown show of an opening. Nice to know some things haven't changed. Anyway, I believe
we don't have standards here.
I believe that the show is brought to you by Taurus USA. Well, I don't believe that. That's correct. And Bleecker Street.
That is correct. Bleecker Street Publications and Taurus USA.
The number of times I've said Beaker Street and thought of the dude from The Muppets.
The Muppets.
it's greater than zero, boys. It's much higher than zero.
If I can somehow, without breaking any licensure or copyright, make that into a logo, I'm doing it.
Into one of those, like, I think that you could easily do that as just do it as one of those, like, hey, this is for fun. We're not selling it. Look at this haha meme we've made. I mean, hell, half of the patches on my patch panel probably violate somebody's copyright.
Oh, I'm sure. It's just too small to be worth chasing down for any time, because the only person with that kind of time is Disney, and even they backed off.
Oh, man. Oh, good old Disney. Just going after everybody's copyright infringement. To be fair, they do have some pretty valuable IPs. I don't have a good segue into this episode from Disney, so we're just going to... hang on. Disney owns Star Wars. And, you know, you don't see it on a lot of guns in Star Wars. Optics.
That's not true. All the Stormtrooper blasters have optics. Han Solo's fucking pistol has an optic.
Leia's gun does not have an optic.
Leia's gun does not have an optic.
The Biker Scout guns do not have optics. Mando's long gun did, but his handguns don't.
Correct.
So
it's a mixed bag there, man. Much like the current market.
So we're going to talk about optics. And the reason this is interesting to me is... I farm a lot of content from the comment section on some of the Facebook pages I administer for my job. And you see people in the comments will often be like, you know, why didn't you make this optics, you know, give this an optics cut? Specifically, this was on a forum. And it's a forum of fairly serious shooters. Well, it used to be a forum of fairly serious shooters. Now there's still some good shooters on there, but
forums don't tend to stay full of very serious shooters. It's the nature of
the world. Their populations will wax and wane in terms of quality, right? Like there was a time when ARFCOM was actually good. Back to the thing is, so the guy was talking about he had gotten his hands on one of our guns, the TH-10, right? And he was like, hey, shot great, accurate, da-da-da-da-da. Why didn't you make it? You know, I wish it was cut for an optic. And that got me thinking. I was like, it's very, very apparent in the competition and training circles that optics are the way, right? Like that is, I was just looking at the numbers for the upcoming IDPA National Championship and... something like 40% of all registered shooters are shooting carry optics, which is fucking nuts. That's a huge number. That's insane.
We wouldn't have seen that 5 years ago. 10 years ago, that would be unheard of.
Yeah. Yeah. 40% of all registered shooters are shooting carry optics. And then if you tack on the people that are shooting PCC, all of which have optics, you're up to almost like 45% of match entrants are shooting some sort of optic equipped gun. And then if you go to a class, the last shooting class I took was the last handgun specific class I took was Gabe White's class in 2023, was when I took that, I think. And if memory serves me, there were only two people in that class who weren't running optics equipped guns. And one of them was Gabe. and the other one was me.
And if you go into the world of rifles and carbines, there's really only one setup that still has irons as legacy, and that's if you're shooting in AK classifications. And even then, most of those guns are now optic equipped because the market has caught up and tried to chase down the capabilities of the M4. But those are still the courses. If I run an AK course with Tom, those are still the courses that I can reliably bet on one or two guns coming with irons. Everything else is going to have at least a dot. A lot of them are going to have LPVOs. So optics. Optics are, for people who shoot their guns, optics are the standard now. However, they are not the majority.
No, and it's funny because when we talk about that, right? Like the I firmly believe that the consumer, right, the guy who's got, you know, 300 to four, you know, call it 300 to 500 bucks in his pocket, it's burning a hole in his pocket, and he's like, I want a gun. I want it for home defense. I want it for concealed carry, you know, whatever, right? This is the guy who is the target market for, you know, a lot of the Artoris polymer products, for the new Ruger, the Gluger. What is it, Paul? Thank you. Yeah, the Gluger.
Literally have one. Or,
yep.
But how is it, by the way?
If you sample the... Oh, Paul, go ahead. How is the Gluger, a.k.a. the RXM?
So, as we know, it's a Gen 3 clone that had two decades of hindsight behind a real Gen 3, and it's actually really nice.
So it's a nice Gen 3?
It's a really nice Gen 3. It's got a very nice rolling trigger break that's consistent. It's accurate. It's been reliable so far.
It's a Gen 3.
For a $400 retail gun, it comes with really nice, tall tritium iron sights. Like, probably can't see them in the camera, but they even have ridges and whatnot. And then the mounting system, without having to mess with it, it'll take RMR, RMSC, and Delta Point Pro off the bat, which covers, 60% of optics footprints that matter?
RMR, RMSC, and Delta Point Pro probably covers closer to 80% of viable optics footprints.
There's about one other footprint that does matter, and that's the mailboxes.
Acro.
That's your acro and your...
Oh, 100%. But, I mean, the slide's not set up for that.
Right. Yeah.
But it's
so what's interesting, you know, and what's interesting. So when you look at the guy, right, who is the target consumer for that, you know, I'm looking at sales data right now that's pulled from multiple brick and mortar retailers and, you know, a couple of online locations. And if I look at, and this is just Taurus, but if I look at our number one selling gun year to date, it's not an optics ready gun. Neither is our number two selling gun, and neither is our number three selling gun. It isn't until you get down to number four that you might have some optics ready guns in the mix. And that's only because I'm not sure how gun dealers are actually like categorizing their inventory. So yeah. And I'm not saying that we're necessarily representative of the market, but because
you're not unrepresentative of the market either. You have a strong niche in the market, but let's take a look at optics and optics ready in scale. That is incredibly new. While it is the standard for new production, hi bud, you yelling at squirrels? So while it is the new production for standard, guns are durable goods. So anybody from when the Beretta 92 was introduced to just before optics came on the planet, that bought a Beretta 92 or a Taurus 92, which is the superior safetied and decockered Beretta. It's the better frame.
Facts.
Fight me. frame mounted safety is the way. Slide mounted is just where it is.
Well, and I think, you know, going back to that, one of the things that is unique about Taurus that we've done is, or that we still do, is we still offer SKUs that are not optics ready, right? Mm-hmm. Like in the semi-auto, a lot of the other manufacturers have just been like, fuck it, we'll just cut everything for a dot, and whether or not people want to put it on there is up to them.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of validity in that, especially consolidation of production. I mean, look at what Glock did with the 47. They finally discontinued the 17 and they made it the 47. Why? Because the 47, 45, and 19 and 19X now all use this very consolidated set of parts that work.
Speaking of Glock, maybe we need to do at some point have a moment of silence for the 34. Because
it's not funny.
Like, I get it, right? I get SKU rationalization, especially in a tough market. Yeah. And I know that there's still a lot of 34s out there on the market. Like, if you want to go buy a new production, you know, 34, you still can. But
yeah, new and box 34s are probably going to be 3-4 years still able to be found.
Wait, so
three or four years, you can find
Gen 5. Did they cut them out completely, or is it just because they're going to like the A cut, or have I been in denial?
Well, no, so when they put out their, hang on, they put out a list.
Right.
Discontinued.
I saw the list. I just thought, oh, maybe they'll make like a COA A cut 34. Like, I didn't realize they were actually going to cut the 34 in general.
I mean, they can do what they want. They are, in fact, Glock. So that doesn't mean that a cut or a COA cut 34 isn't in the cards in a year or two if they see the, you know, demand there for it. But given what Caleb's looking up right now on the list, the indication is it's going way in favor of the 47.
Yeah,
the 47 should be their longest one.
According to the list, the Gen 3 and Gen 4 34s are discontinued. The G34 MOS Gen 4 and Gen 5 are also chopped. And that makes me sad. And it makes me sad because the Glock 34, like, I get that I'm the old guy in a lot of these conversations now. And a lot of these fucking kids, if you'll pardon me saying it, that's the thing, right? Like, they don't remember the heyday of production. Like, when more people were entering the shooting sports because of production division, the Glock 34 was so many people's first competition gun. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I put this out. Anything
competing with it was just trying to emulate the 34 that you were just trying. The XDM 5.25 was just Springfield's attempt at a 34. The M&P 5-inch was Smith & Wesson's original attempt at the 34.
The XDM 525 is still the best XDM ever made. I absolutely 100% fuck with that gun. And like, if you sent me back in time to when I had one of the very first models, I would tell the version of me that was like, okay, you shot 5,000 rounds through this, send it back to write a check and be like, keep that gun. That's a fucking good gun.
I shot one for a while too. And the only thing that I can say negatively about the gun is I would tear my hands up on it because it was sharp. I would usually bleed on the gun during the match.
Fuck talking about optics for a second. With the departure of the Glock 34, that's what this episode's about, by the way. Now it's about the Glock 34.
We have hijacked the episode. We're allowed to do
with
that.
With the departure of the Glock 34, who out there is still making polymer framed long slide striker fired guns? So
Walter Smith and Wesson.
Is Smith still making the 5-inch?
I know they are in a metal frame, but I don't know if they're doing a polymer right now.
M&P 2.0 full size.
They should have a full size 5-inch.
Yep.
I forgot they did that wild 10 mil gun. The competitor is a metal frame though, right?
Yep.
It's aluminum.
Yeah, that's not a poly.
Alu? All right, hang on. We're going to sort by barrel length.
Frame, long slide. It's so wrong, it's right.
The only... Oh, you know what? They still have the M&P 2.0 full-size 5-inch in FDE with the thumb safety. Still out there. Still,
yeah, that's,
you know what?
Still hanging on.
That's the slide I have on the steel frame right now.
Mm.
This is actually really hard.
All right, Paul. So you're you know the current actual gun reviewer. So Smith is making one. Walther is making the PDP long boy, right?
Yeah, the 5-inch and plastic and steel. Canik has the Rival and the Rival S.
Mm-hmm.
Revolve.
The Rival. That sounds French.
What does PDP stand for?
Performance duty pistol.
Okay. I don't think duty pistol when I see the letters DP put together.
That's because you and I remember the old internet.
Jar squatter. Don't, if you're listening to this, watching this, don't Google that. Just don't. You don't need to see that. You can't unsee that once you do see that. So don't do it. Canik Rival. Oh, the SFX Rival. Wow, that's really ugly. Do you think they could put more square edges on that thing? Oh, but they have one with red highlights, and I do kind of fuck with that.
Look at something, especially having been in this business for a minute, you ever look at something and start just counting the amount of machine passes they've saved in order to do a look like that? And just like a decision was made here to cut down on machining time, and right. I can respect it, but
on the Rival, a decision was made to increase machining time. Like the number of machine passes on this slide, it's fucking nuts. And then weirdly, they cut go fast holes in the side of the slide in where some of the machine passes were made. And that does like, this is like, I actually have a ton of respect for Canik. As a brand, they were able to show up on the scene and sell an affordable gun and acquire kind of like a cool guy image and reputation while doing that. And I fuck with that. I think that's super rad. This gun is ugly. The baby ugly. I don't know what to say about that.
They were even able to get past the fact that one of their earliest models could decock on a loaded chamber and then was just useless because there was no double action version of the Striker.
I forgot about that. Oh, FN
you,
has
you could just turn the gun off with a round in the chamber, and it was just like, huh. I don't know if that's a feature, guys.
FN still has the 509 LS Edge. MSRP is $1,600.
Yeah, the Belgian's a little crazy.
Has everything gone? Look, I know I was gone for a while, but has everything gone completely tits up?
There are some people out there with some MSRPs on guns that I'm really like. Every time I see it, I want to throw the meme out there. The Are you sure about that? Like, yo,
that's $1,600 for a polymer frame Striker fired 9mm. Okay,
with a trigger that is honestly not great.
No,
those guns are very functional. They definitely run. But I think the only trigger I would take lower than that right now would be an original like Smith & Wesson Sigma trigger.
Wow. Widely known as the worst trigger ever put in a gun. So we got FN, we got Canik, we got Smith, although Smith is down to one polymer frame long slide SKU. All of their other, according to their websites, all of their other long slide SKUs are aluminum guns, which, you know, you could have just brought back.
I bet the FDE is either for a moderately sized contract they still have, or they're just running it until they hit...
until they run out of parts.
Yeah, they run through the parts for new production.
Don't quote me on it, but it's also one of those models that had the weird chamber loaded indicator right behind the breech, unlike the new.
Well, and I tell you what, it's got a...
That's another thing that's likely for a contract. It's probably a contract requirement.
On this and side, it's got the manual safety. We cut a dovetail
to hide that thing. Yeah, and the manual safety was... I think they can sell it in California a little bit easier.
Massachusetts. So Massachusetts has a unique trigger pull law where guns either have to have a manual safety or they have to have a trigger pull weight of over, I forget what it is. It's some absurd number. But guns either have to have a manual safety or some absurdly heavy trigger pull weight, which is why for a while, like Massachusetts was sort of a 1911 haven. You saw a lot of good retail action for. Did I just mute myself?
You did.
I was like,
that's crazy. No, my phone just decided that
Caleb boomered the computer there.
My phone just decided to put itself in driving mode, which is odd because I'm sitting at my desk.
I did that earlier too. I was like, swipe, because there was two ways to swipe, and I'm like, okay, one of these turns it to panel view so I can see everybody. Because I don't like it when it's speaker view, where it's, oh, whoever's talking or whoever the app thinks is talking the most talkily is just going to pop up onto the screen. ADHD go wild. Just give me the panel with everybody. So I did not choose to swipe that way. I chose to swipe into driving mode, and then everything went dark, and I was scared for a minute.
It's what I did. I definitely just swiped into driving mode. All right, so Springfield no longer makes the XDM 5 in, the XDM 525.
I do expect to see an echelon variant of that, though.
You think they're going to do an echelon long boy?
I would not doubt it.
Let's not forget about the HK long boys.
Forget about the HK long boy.
The one I'm holding up in my hand has been the most accurate Striker fired 9 I've reviewed.
The VP 9 long. Yeah, the VP9L is a really good gun.
And then I got the match here because, you know, it's even bigger and bigger is better.
I want a VP9LB and I want a H&K P30LB because I like magazine buttons.
I hope they A1-anize the VP9L. That would be really cool. After messing with the new A1s, I really like them objectively.
What are the A1s?
The new updated variant of the VP9, they cleaned up the triggers. To me, the slide feels like it tracks better. That might be subjective because of how I shoot, but I think they did a great job. And I'm kind of a German gun ho. Like, these guns are underrated in some way. I'm not being paid to say that. They work very well.
I fucks with the Germans. It's just going and revamping like all your, like, if you've gone down, like, I'm heavily invested in M&P right now, and that's fairly affordable to grab magazines, get holsters, and everything like that. Trying to go over German and then repeat everything and be like, oh, well, you know, I've got 10 mags, so I need to go up to 10 mags. And then you start looking at the price tag and you're like, ah, well, shit.
The only thing they need to do is make the grip grippier. It's a little, it could be grippier, especially in a hot match in the summer. But I know, what's that company? Taylor Freelance is making weighted inserts for the grip panels and whatnot. I was talking to Riley Bowman about this.
Fun fact, though, if you have a VP9 or a P30L, you can do a direct cut for a Steiner. You can't do it for an Acro. The footprint is different enough, but the Steiner you can. Then you can do suppressor height sights, and you have direct cut go witness. Go sign.
That makes sense that, you know, they would want to put a German optic on there, right?
I don't think it was done deliberately, but it's definitely very doable, and it made me happy that the German one worked. Although funny, the other one's Austrian, so you'd think that
right, there might be a little issue there.
Nah, it's fine. Nothing goes wrong when Germans and Austrians get together.
No, not even. They had a great time. We're coming up in the 30s. We can see if it repeats itself at the centennial.
Oh, we are coming up on the 30s. That's fine. You know, it's funny. If I was just going to get, you know, we're talking about like the polymer frame long slide guns. And if I didn't have the job that I have and I was going to carry any sort of long slide gun, I would probably just get the friggin' Beretta 92XI SAO, not the optic, you know, just run that with iron sights and be like, I have a single action 92. I need nothing else from this world.
And if you want to jump down frickin' optics on those things, you know, Landon will take care of you, and the world is right. I still need to send more my Centurion slide. I talked to him at NRA, and I'm like, I haven't seen those slides in stock. And he's like, yeah, you need to send me one. I'm like, well, I have one to send, so... And then I just haven't yet, so...
I have three 92 slides that are just sitting around that I keep meaning to send over there, but since I don't really shoot my Berettas anymore for obvious professional reasons.
It's almost like you work for a gun company. Weird.
I know. It's so weird. I do really want to, I want to like talk to Mitch and be like, I want to send. So if you guys don't know Mitch works over at Langdon and he is very, very smart. And maybe just, you know, just a touch of the tism.
You need it.
None of us on this stream right now know anything about that.
Nope, none whatsoever. But Mitch is great. And I mean, he graduated from West Point, so of course he has a touch of the tism, right? Like,
no, that's not a touch. You are bathed in the tism at West,
yeah,
West Point. I have a lot of West Pointer friends. None of them are not on the spectrum.
Yeah, no. I firmly believe that the Army recruits for it in their officer corps. They're like, yes, young man, you like maps and organizing things? Boy, do we have a job for you. I want to give him...
How are you feeling when I say the term railway schedule?
I want to give him one of our guns and be like, hey, just, you know, just do things with it, and you figure out some ways that you could improve it. Maybe we do a Langdon Taurus, an LTT revolver. They need a revolver to round out that LTT segment.
Do a friggin' like 692 or something like that. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
The problem is, and this is, you know, real, you know, industry big boy talk, is I couldn't do a Langdon collab that would essentially compete with the executive grades, right? Perfect. So I already have my upscale high-end, you know, one gunsmith product. So I can't then do a thing that competes with that, right? Like, it would have to be on a SKU, on a line that we haven't really messed with, which, you know, is why I think it should be a fucking 44 Magnum. Because,
you know what? I could fox with that.
Yeah.
I'm in.
You're like, yeah, he said 44. Let's do it. Well, what I was thinking, all right, so. And we will probably be wrapping up here shortly. But what I was thinking is
you this take our right, episode so, brought to you by Taurus USA, Bleecker Street Publications, and the letters ADHD.
Well, no, and the letters I have a call at 2:30. So, no, so all right, here's what I was thinking. If I had, you know, unlimited money to do R&D, I would take our Model 44, which is and it's a large frame, so end frame analog, 6-shot 44 Magnum, adjustable sights. I would chop an inch off I would take the 4-inch gun, I would chop it down to 3 inches. I would do a mountain gun profile, semi underlug, leave the factory rubber grips on it because I think they're great, and then have it have an action tune and everything like that. And that's it. That's the gun.
You really say dirty things like that on the internet?
I know, right? Like,
we need to be on that other site, the one about the fans.
Hey, do you remember when was it InRange posted a bunch of stuff on Pornhub? Like actual gun content.
Yeah, there were a couple when YouTube was going real hard in the sauce on strikes and violations and everything like that. A couple of folks hopped over to Pornhub to do just regular gun content for a minute, and you know what? Good for them.
Yeah, God bless them for it. Not sure how it worked out, but
well, we don't hear about it much anymore. So I think that the day the music died on that one.
Yeah, yeah. I also remember when OnlyFans tried to like rebrand themselves as not just pornography.
I remember when they tried to be like, no, we're not going to allow explicit content on the site anymore. And it's like, well, I'm sorry to your revenue stream.
Right. Yeah. I guess you don't like making money. That's fun. Man, I bet if you chopped this thing off right...
We already have several sites for... Like, you have Twitch, you have Discord, you have YouTube. That market's cornered, my guy. You can't jump out of the market into a well-populated market and be like, I bet my revenue will be fine.
I'm now, like, obsessed with this idea I had about the 44, and I figured out, and I'm like, look, I'm on my own website looking at this, figuring out if I took the 6-inch gun, where would, because it has a vent ribbed barrel, and fucking vent ribbed barrel guns are cool as fuck. And if I chopped the vent ribbed barrel down to like 3.5 inches, I could chop it right in front of that rib, put the front, ooh, bowel pornography. All right, well, on this episode of Gun Day Brunch, we talked about, the Glock 34. We talked about optics and the new, and we didn't really let the new guys talk. So, dog. Fantastic. And that is it for this week. We'll be back next week. If you're listening, I should have done this at the top of the show. I always friggin' forget. But if you are listening on Apple or Spotify or any of the audio streaming apps, you get the episodes the day we record them. If you're watching, you have to wait till they come out on whatever, wherever we're uploading them. Where are we uploading them again? Tell the people where to go.
We will be on Open Air Media, and eventually we will get these back on YouTube, guys. I just don't expect YouTube to play nice with us. So
right.
Open Air Media for the video and audio, and then all your favorite podcaster spots for audio.
And again, if you're listening on audio, go ahead and, you know, leave us one of those cool little 5-star reviews. Send the podcast to your friends, you know, get more people to listen to it. But that's it for this week, guys. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next week.